What you press into is what you are relying on. That's why prayer is mission critical. Jesus even said, he goes, my Father's house will be a house of what? Prayer. Is preaching good? Yes. Is discipleship great? Absolutely. Is singing wonderful? You bet. But he said, my Father's house will be a house of prayer. Why would he say that? What's so big about prayer? Well, prayer is not me and you coming up with a Christmas list and we mail it off to Jesus. That's not what this is. Listen closely. Prayer is not us conforming God to our will. Prayer is us being conformed to God's will.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Hey, this is John Couch with This Day Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in to This Day in the Word. Let's take our Bibles together right now. And let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, looking at verse 4, as we listen to the conclusion of the message entitled, Getting Untangled from Sin.
Write this text down, Philippians 2, 5 through 11, one of my favorite texts in all of Scripture. This is so rich. Listen to it. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, a doulos, a willing slave, saying, here, I'm going to be God incarnate. I'm born not just to die, but I'm born to conquer the grave. And coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now listen to these words. Therefore, God has also, here we go, highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's an amen moment, isn't it? You ask, well, is Jesus the only way? Yes, period. Yes, period. Yes, period. If we are worshiping the things of the world and Jesus simultaneously together, the worship that we claim is for Jesus is tainted, deluded, and powerless. See, all these feed off the first one. God said, I want you to be centered on me. There'll be no other gods before me. Okay, can I have Jesus and then eat my cake too? No. Can I have Jesus and me? No. This is all about total abandonment of self, where Jesus comes on the scene in your life and he radically transforms you. Jesus is the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. There's no other name that you can be saved, Acts 4:12, but that of the name of Jesus and him alone. Key number three to getting entangled from sin is to be Bible-driven. Bible-driven. Here's the note. What we are driven by is what always leads us. What we are driven by is what always leads us. We're in this thing today where they say that the truth is on trial. They say God's on trial. Jesus is on trial. Well, here's the deal. My God, my Jesus is not on trial. He's already conquered sin, death, and the grave. He's at the right hand of the Father. The reality is we don't realize this, but those that are apart from Jesus Christ, those people are on trial. what we are driven by. You are either driven by the Word of God or you're not. Like, it's one or the other. You can't part. Well, I'm partially driven by the Word. Therefore, you're not driven by the Word. It's either absolute or it's obsolete. You can't be for and against and before. You're either for or against. Write this text down, Matthew 4:1-11. Again, another powerful, powerful text in God's Word. All of His Word, obviously, is powerful, but this is so gripping, especially in this area of being Bible-driven, Bible-driven, governed by Scripture. We must be under the authority of Scripture at any and all costs, period. Paul even said this. He's talking there later on in chapter 2, and he says this. He says that I'm in chains. I'm suffering as an evildoer, and I'm in chains. And then he makes this statement. I love this statement. He says this, but the Word of God is not chained. Man, the Word is not chained. This holy Bible, this holy book that I hold in my hands, and we hold her high, don't we? Man, we just lift the Word of God high here. We say, God, today Your Word is preeminent. God, it's Your Word. We're high and lifted up Your Word today because we know this, that when You are high and lifted up, Your Word promises You draw men unto Yourself. Yes. The Word in your life, the Word in your family's life, the Word in your church, the Word in your business, the Word in your team, the Word is not and will never be chained. That's comforting, amen? Man, if I'm serving a God who I'm not sure how this is going to work out, or if I'm serving a God where His Word, His truth is partially chained, there's not a whole lot of confidence there. But I know this. I know it. I believe it. I understand it. I get it. I surrender to it. I fall at His feet for it. Oh God, today we believe Your Word and we will be driven by Your Word no matter how much it costs us. Matthew 4:1-11. This is Jesus after He was baptized. First came the dove and then came the devil. Amen? Here it is. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Just pause there for a minute. Man, the enemy always plays one card and it's called the lie, isn't it? Yes. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's a slanderer. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's all he is about. And so he tries to take everything that's truth and skew it and put a slant on it so there's some bit of doubt. Now think about how insane the devil really is. Think about this. He's with Jesus, who the Word tells us this, that He is the Word. That the Word tells us this, that He sustains everything by the Word of His power. And the devil is such an idiot, he's like, here, if you really are the Son of God, you think Jesus is going to go, I wonder if He has a point there. Maybe I'm not. But he always tries to cast doubt. Remember the Garden of Eden, right? Did God really say? Did He really say don't eat of that tree? Was He serious? Was He kidding? If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. But he answered, Jesus answered and said, I love this, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Do you see this church family today? You have to. Your life depends on it. You have to be Bible driven in everything you do. As the enemy comes at you, and if he's not already after you right now, I'd be shocked. But by the time you get in the parking lot, he's after you at a minimum. And your defense as the armor of God is the sword of the Spirit. and you take the sword, which is the Word of God, the Bible, and you just turn it all around on him as he lies at you and he accuses you and he's trying to drag you down, you just beat him over the head with the Word of God. And then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written." Satan knows scripture. He twists it, doesn't he?
Yeah.
"He shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again, man, the devil's persistent, isn't he? Make a note of that. He's persistent in your life and mine. "Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him," Jesus, "all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Again, what a bumbling idiot. Jesus created all these things. Why should he want to get them from you, Satan? "Then Jesus said to him, 'Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and him only.' Then the devil left him." Don't miss this. "Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him." Do you see this? As the sin comes into your life and my life and the addictions and whatever you're struggling with today, as the temptations are there, James 4:7 tells us this: "Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." It is written. We must be Bible-driven, because what we follow is always what we think is the truth.
Yeah.
The Word is the truth, amen?
You're listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of Pastor Couch's messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. In addition, you can share your prayer requests with us via email. Our email address for prayer requests is prayer@thisdayministries.org. That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. And now, back to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch.
The last one, number four, how to get untangled from sin. Be prayer saturated. Prayer saturated. And here's the note next to this one. What we press into is always what we rely on. What you press into, whatever your pain is today, whatever your struggle is today, the world out there, the enemy, as he knows our weak spots, he will try to put anything and everything that's not of God to dull the pain and fill the void. What you press into is what you are relying on. That's why prayer is mission critical. Jesus even said, he goes, "My Father's house will be a house of what? Prayer." Is preaching good? Yes. Is discipleship great? Absolutely. Is singing wonderful? You bet. But he said, "My Father's house will be a house of prayer." Why would he say that? What's so big about prayer? Well, prayer is not me and you coming up with a Christmas list and we mail it off to Jesus. That's not what this is. Listen closely. Prayer is not us conforming God to our will. Prayer is us being conformed to God's will.
Amen.
You say, how do we know this? Well, let's go to Jesus. He's a pretty good example, wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
Write this verse down. Mark 14:36. Mark 14:36. On one of the most, if not the most, pivotal night in human history, he's like, "Hey, come here, disciples. We're going to the garden." No, we're not planting vegetables. We're going to the garden. "No, talk to the Lord. Talk to my God. Hey, you stay here. You three, Peter, James, and John, you come with me." And there he is in the garden, and we know the story that he's in great anguish. He knows that he's born not just to die, but he knows that he's born to endure. He knows that he's going to suffer much, suffer at the hands of the Father. It's going to please the Father, the Word says, to bruise the Son. The Son's going to be marred beyond recognition. He's going to have sin heaped upon him. And he's crying out, "Oh God, Abba, Father, is there any other way? Any other way?" And then he just put a period into the sentence, and that was it, right? Wrong. Comma. "Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." Man, you want to see your life get radically rocked. You want to see your life get used to impact people by the droves for the glory of God. Yes, tell God your concerns. Tell him your hurts. Tell him your pains. But put a comma after every one of them. "Nevertheless, oh God, not what I will, but what you will." Because here's the deal. So many times, he's allowing pain into my life, pain into your life, so that we will draw deeper into him, into his wellspring of life, begin to depend on him, and people are going to see in us a dependence no longer on self, but a dependence on God, and they're going to start saddling up next to each one of you and I. Man, when they get the cancer report, when they can't pay their bills, when their marriage is completely imploded, they're going to begin to saddle up next to you and say, "I don't know what it is about you, but I know this. Every time you go through heartache, every time you go through pain, how is it you stand tall for this Jesus who you call the Christ?" And your answer is pretty simple. "Because my life is no longer my own." Paul even said there in 2 Corinthians 5:15 that Christ died and that those who are under his blood now live, and that those who live no longer live for themselves, but they live for the one who died and rose again.
Yes.
Prayer. It's mission critical. That's why I have two questions for you. Two questions. When was the last time that you trembled in the presence of God and you trembled His glory? Like, when was the last time that you trembled at how great He is? "Oh God, you are so great. God, you've allowed this trial to my life, and I'm going to praise you in my storm. Oh God, thank you for saving me. God, I am trembling at your glory. How could you, a good, good Father that we sing of, how could you execute and slaughter your only begotten Son? Oh God, I tremble at you today." And secondly, when was the last time that you wept? That you wept uncontrollably? That you wept uncontrollably over your sin? When was the last time that as you trembled at God and His glory and you just wept uncontrollably over your sin? As I travel, I hear it all the time. I hear the amens and the shouts, the hands being raised, that we want revival, that we want awakening. But who's willing to die to themselves to start the process? Well, we say we want it, but how badly do we want it? How desperately do we want it? Revival, awakening, getting untangled from sin all go hand in hand. We must never be a people that we get complacent and okay with our sin. Well, it's okay. God forgives, and so He's okay with me just the way I am. No, He isn't. He died. He died such a brutal death to free you from the bondage of sin. The power of Jesus Christ as He bolted forth on the third day from that grave has the power today to free you from whatever sin you were enslaved to. His power is greater than your sin. Therefore, revival and awakening and getting untangled from sin. Three things as I close. Listen closely. It never happens by accident. Like if you're here today and you're like, you know what? The Holy Spirit is all over me now. Man, I have this deep-seated addiction. I have this deep-seated bitterness. I have this deep-seated envy. I have this deep-seated anger. You are never going to get out of your predicament by accident. You're not going to wake up one morning and you just stumble into freedom. No, Jesus is there. He's waving. He's outside the gate. Hebrews 12, Hebrews 13. I'm out here. I'm over here. It never happens by accident. It must be intentional and it must be urgent. You either want it or you don't. I've learned this a long time ago. You can lead the horse to water, but you can't force them to do what? Drink, right? Like here it is. Here's freedom. No longer enslaved. Here's glory. Here it is. I don't really want it. Okay. Because if I want it more than you do, you will never want it. That's why I just point you to Jesus. My job, I'm kind of like one of those guys at the airport, right? You know the guys out there that, I hope there's no one here, I don't want to offend any of these guys, but you know you're out there with the little batons, you fly in, you land the plane, and you go, so this is all they do all day long. Okay, good. Must be stressful. Strong forearms though, right? But that's what we do. We just point people to Jesus. There He is. I can't save myself, let alone you. There he is. You don't want him? Okay, that's your problem. There he is. It never happens by accident. Number two, it never happens where apathy and indifference rule the day. It's like the coach that went to his football player and he said, hey, what is wrong with you, son? What is wrong with you? Is it apathy or is it indifference? The kid looked at him and said, I don't know and I don't care. Revival and awakening and getting untangled from sin will never occur where apathy and indifference rule the day. Lastly, if revival and awakening and getting untangled from sin is going to happen in my life and your life today, we must be desperate. It never happens where sin is ignored. We must be broken. There's repentance. There's confession. There's godly sorrow that leads to repentance. As the terrorists came into the building, utter chaos enveloped. Bullets began to fly. People began to fly. Debris all over the place. And once the calm had finally settled upon the scene, there was a man who was underneath, and as he's trapped underneath, he gave the account afterwards, and people asked, well, how did you survive this? As they came in, the terrorists come into the building, and begin to shoot anyone and everyone. How did you survive? And he stood there in front of them with blood covering from head to toe. And he looked at them and said, "It must have been because I was covered in someone else's blood." I don't know where you are today, but I know this. The enemy wants to shoot you up. And the only way that you will escape is by being covered in the blood of King Jesus. Father, we just come before you today. Thank you for this day. This is the day you've made. God, we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. God, thank you for these four key principles that we can become not entangled, but untangled from sin. How? To be God-centered, focused on God and everything. Christ-exalting, worshiping our Lord in everything. Bible-driven, governed by Scripture in everything, because the Word of God is not chained. And lastly, prayer-saturated. We depend on God in everything. God, and get us untangled right now. And we know, Lord, it's only through the precious blood of your Son, Jesus. To you be the praise, to you be the glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Amen.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.